for too long, I'm as bad. And then we come back and we're a wee bit late. So I can see a couple out there. 1, 2, 3. We do. Murray, could you just sort of tap Trevor? Here he comes. Well, Galen, is it 3? Yes, it is. It's 3 o'clock, so we'll start. Good afternoon.
Yep. Mayor and councillors and the public for coming here to listen to me today. Now, I put out 5 submission forms and requested each person got 10 signatures each. The signatories on my form voted for the modified model. The others didn't want to talk to you. I told them you're not that scary. As a federated farmers, we work with successful Te Arawa large farm entities with strong, educated leadership. As a rural person and farmer, 6% of RDC's population, we are disadvantaged when it comes to voice and the ability to be voted on to local or regional council. But we don't expect to be given voting rights because of that. Yes, nominated Te Arawa's representatives that have the mayor and councillors' approval can be pointed to specific committees. But no voting right can be given. Democracy was hard earned in New Zealand. My great-grandfather finally got to vote when he purchased a section in Hamilton in the 1890s. Women in New Zealand were world leaders when they fought for their voting right, which was around the First World War. Anzacs fought for democracy. Maori were disadvantaged with their multiple land ownership and recognition. Voting rights, but voting rights must always be democratically won, with all religions, ethnic origins, sex having the same value. Democracy is every New Zealander's heritage and right. I'm proud to live in Te Arawa Rotorua region. Our Māori Pākehā and other relationships is predominantly and historically older and strengthened compared to other New Zealand areas. This is listening to other people speaking and where I have lived before. I am disappointed and embarrassed that this proposed partnership has caused so much negativity in our community. And, yep, good luck. We need to move on from here. Previously, I worked in Auckland in a large manufacturing company, and their meetings about meetings were a right disaster and a damn waste of time. When you have little satellite groups like your Te Arawa committee, somebody's got to go back and you talk about it again. Get together, sort it out. It'll take a bit longer, but I think you will get a better model out of it. And good luck.
Aileen, and thank you for doing the work on behalf of that community group too, to get those voices together. Do we have any questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Aileen, for your submission today, and appreciate you coming all the way in from the farm to give your submission. You put in your written report, it says, what aspects of the proposed Te Arawa partnership model do you disagree with and why? Disagree with Te Arawa giving 2 votes, and yet on the tourism committee we've got outside people making votes, spending up to, I think it's $5 million in promoting Rotorua, and we've also got on the audit committee a qualified accountant who's been given the voting rights because of his expertise.
Yeah, Mark, you're right, and but personally I don't agree with just giving voting rights. You know, there's a democracy in New Zealand, but I actually mentioned this at Fed Farmers thinking, right, I'll get a feel from this room, and they pointed out that many of the executive already go, and mainly regional council, and, usually for a short term, sit on selected committees, And as that, they've got a voting right. But democracy, and I think we've got to compare it with other areas in the world. In New Zealand, it works fairly well. And in Rotorua, yes, we have got a problem. Te Arawa hasn't been recognised as well as it should at the moment. And most probably we have a stronger relationship than other areas because Te Arawa was so generous in the very early days to the Rotorua people. And, you know, and that's been built on, but we need to move on.
Questions?
No, and thank you for coming in. Every right. submission has its own view, which is unique.
Thank you. So,
thank you. You're here. Are you wanting to come to the table? So we now move to Rodney Houghton. Good afternoon, Rodney. For councillors, this is submission 1777, page 232. Good afternoon.
We'll try that again. Thank you for that welcome, Your Worship, and councillors. It is an honour. It is an honour to be here, and also I think it's my right to be here as well in a democracy. So I'm exercising that right.
Good on you.
I've spent many, many, many hours thinking through this thing and trying to formulate a response or a contribution. Firstly, may I say at the outset that I'm a Rotorua-born New Zealander. And I'm not a Kiwi, as I neither have feathers, and I don't play rugby league. Except if I'm in the pub with an Aussie, I'll be a Kiwi. Three of my grandparents rest in the Sala Street Cemetery. One of those is a grandparent-in-law of Councillor Gould over there. My mother and father from early childhood lived and went to school in Waiatapu and Reparoa, respectively. My grandfather, my father's father, was a mounted rifleman in World War I, and he's in the military section over here in Sala Street. My grandchildren are sixth-generation New Zealanders. My wife is Dutch-born and a Dutch national, and I'm speaking on her behalf as well because she put a submission in, and I think since English is her second language, she perhaps balked at speaking here. It's difficult enough. I do feel a deep affinity with my city and its surrounding lakes, forests and farmlands. Despite my connection with our land, it is my belief that whether you are the most recent migrant to New Zealand or can attribute 1/16th of your DNA to a pre-European Polynesian, we are all equal in the eyes of the law. Unlike millions of people around the world, we are privileged to live in a democracy where freedom of speech permits us the right to have this conversation. The rights we enjoy as citizens of New Zealand have been hard-earned over many centuries and many battlefields stretching back to ancient Greece and Rome. A cornerstone of universal suffrage is one equal vote without discrimination between rich or poor or ethnic origins. The principle should, in my opinion, apply to local body governance and central government elections. If the partnership proposal in its entirety is implemented, we will create, in my opinion, two classes of citizen. A privileged minority elite will have disproportionate voting power based on their tribal affiliation. I see the proposal as a power grab on one hand and appeasement by some councillors on the other. You do not have a mandate to roll back or interfere with my democratic rights. Uh, A submitter yesterday said, during the brief time I was here observing the process, said that the proposal was a step on the road to, on the road to partnership. That's a step on the road. Surely a heads up for those considering the ramifications or the long-term ramifications of this proposal. I believe that for some supporters of this proposal, the end game is to achieve a form of co-governance and possible sovereignty. That's my personal belief. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow, but some people have a very long-term view of these things. And this would be this situation would be the antithesis of our democratic system. It would be a shabby legacy to leave our grandchildren. The proposal, in my opinion again, is undemocratic, discriminatory, arguably racist, and certainly polarising our community. I request that on May the 26th, Council withdraw their support in principle for the proposal. Let's go back to the drawing board and invite all citizens to engage in constructive consultation for the future. I see Council's primary responsibility is to maintain our infrastructure in a cost-effective manner. It is my belief that individual residents / ratepayers share common interests in the welfare of our community. I'd consider it rather insulting that the proposal infers that Council has carried out its duties in a biased manner to the detriment of one special interest group. I think all of you as councillors might feel a bit aggrieved about the situation we find ourselves in. Now, before concluding, I did have a question, but I've just been told I'm not allowed to ask questions. So I have many concerns, but just yesterday I spoke separately with two employees of the council, and I was told separately by these people that they had not been permitted to make a submission on this proposal. Now, I know both these people rather well. I'm not asking for a response, but if that's true, that seems to be part of a bit of a process of shutting down freedom of speech or trying to gag people. And I think council employees should have a right to make submissions. In fact, I would ask... No, I'm not going to ask anything. In conclusion, I want to thank you for your attention, and in particular I want to thank those past and present councillors who have exercised their right to free speech in defence of democracy. Thank you very much.
And we'll open for questions. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you. Thanks, Rodney. I'm not clear on, could you please explain how two votes can add up to disproportionate power?
I'm here to make a submission. I'm not going to get tangled up in the thing. I would say the standing committee has been comprised of elected councillors, and I want the status quo to remain. In the meantime, I don't have a constructive view of what changes there should be. I've heard suddenly word about Maori wards. Well, maybe. But that's not my argument at the moment. I just say I don't want unelected people on key committees having a vote. Consultation is a big different story. If you look at my written submission in the beginning, you'll see a bit more about what I think about that. So that's a non-answer, perhaps.
That's an answer. Any other questions, Councillor McVicker?
Your Worship, thank you, Rodney, for your submission. You mentioned that we should close down the existing process and have constructive consultation. How would you recommend we go about that process?
Councillor McVicker, I think this morning's Daily Post, I had a very quick read. I believe there has already been a process indicated for that will involve consultation. I think throw away what's happened so far, start again, and this time don't confine the advice to one particular group.
Can I just ask you, are you clear as to why we received a proposal from Te Arawa? Are you aware of the previous standing of the Te Arawa Advisory Committee?
Your Worship, I am aware of something called the Hovell Report, I believe it is. I haven't read it or even cited it. I'm aware, as I stated in my submission, that the Environment Court has recommended consultation, but I don't recollect that they said anything about partnership. And in fact, I don't know what partnership means in this context. It's just a buzzword. In a democracy, I think I don't really like to single out Te Arawa, but I would say partnership it means it's our way or the highway, well, I'm afraid in a democracy we always have disappointments. Every general election, there's probably 40% in New Zealand pretty unhappy about the outcome and feeling like they're disenfranchised. So I'm afraid that I'd have no problem if Te Arawa feel dissatisfied. That's their right. But overall, this is a democracy. So I have some idea of what's going on.
Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Rodney, for your report today. One quick question. Did you attend one of the 10 council meetings before during the submission process?
No, I didn't, Mark. I did come here to the open council meeting, the last open council meeting. I found it educational. some councillors are supposed to have predetermined the outcomes, and as I sat here today, I noticed whose head was nodding as respective submitters spoke, so I pretty well picked out from their body English just who was supporting who. Some people don't keep a poker face. But no, I didn't attend those because I felt I'd heard very negative reports. And also, I would have expected those meetings to have had councillors representing it. I didn't vote for Jean-Paul or Mr. Williams. I voted for the councillors. And I want them to stand up and not hide behind the civil servants, if you could put it that way.
Donaldson.
Thanks, Rod.
Donaldson.
Oh, just one last one, if I can sneak in a question. So you said that just now that you would see this model creating two classes of citizens. Is that the only fear you got? And how do you see that manifesting itself, for example, on yourself and your family being a different class of citizen to presumably Te Arawa?
Yes, Dave, in August this year I had a near-fatal heart attack. I don't expect anything that's going to happen is really going to affect me in the long term. I am a lucky survivor, thanks to the ambulances and whatnot, but I'd like to think that I'm thinking about my grandchildren, and I don't think I could use that cliche about the thin end of the wedge. Well, actually, I think it's gone well beyond the thin end of the wedge, and I said that I see this as there is an end game, and I think most of the councillors here will have retired to their beach houses by the time we really see the outcome of all this. Thanks.
No further questions. Thank you for coming and giving a submission.
Thank you, Your Worship.
For councillors, that's 1797 on page 233. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon, Mayor and councillors. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on the Te Arawa proposal in my submission 1797. My name is Brian Stamp and I live at O'Kerry Falls. I am opposed to the Tiarra Partnership model in its entirety. Voting rights by non-elected members on council matters is not democratic. We have recently had the 100th Anzac commemoration. Our country, with others, fought two world wars for the rights of democracy, which all New Zealanders enjoy today. Let's keep it that way. Funding. Funding by ratepayers of any such proposal is not fair, in my opinion. The adoption of such a proposal will be the catalyst for any organisation to have the same rights and privileges. You could have organisations such as Grey Power, Farmers, Roman Catholics, Protestants, even the Rotorua Democracy Society wanting the same privilege. I don't have any concerns of any group having consultation with the council, but forming partnerships, in my opinion, is not the way to go. The word partnership has the wrong connotation, particularly when used in this context. Advisory and consultation are better. We had the Tiarra Standing Committee, which I understand worked well at its inception for a number of years. It failed. I ask, why did it fail? I believe the Rotorua Lakes Council should be proactive and encourage all organisations to have a say when matters that arise in council affect them. A standard set of rules needs to be implemented so that they're on a level playing field. It should be voluntary, with no funding from the council and no voting rights. Thank you for your attention. That's it.
Thank you, Brian. That's succinct. Do we have any questions? Councillor Gould.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Brian, for your submission this afternoon. I know you're an avid supporter of a local establishment at Lake Okerika. Have you spoken to a lot of your friends out there about the views on what's happening at the present time?
I have spoken to a few, and most of the same, all of them that I've spoken to have been of the same opinion as me.
Wilson.
Brian, just a question on the cost aspect. So the Local Government Act states that councils must facilitate processes so that Māori can contribute to the decision-making process. Should that come free, or should council pay for those processes?
My opinion, council, if they pay for them, should pay for it for all organisations that want to be heard. And to me, that's an additional cost on our rates, which a lot of people are grizzling about because they're going up. I know the council has to have money to fund itself, but the biggest thing, in my view, at the moment, the council has to do is get some of this debt down. However, that's beside the point of what we're talking about today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for coming in. I just wondered, you mentioned that the Te Arawa Standing Committee appeared to work well in the past, and I think that we've heard that, and you wonder why it shouldn't be there. Do you, if I can just highlight something else, we have Support for the Elderly, and a committee that ran for many, many years, and we've decided to change that, because sometimes things just get a little bit tired. They don't function as well. Do you accept that sometimes you've just got to change to make things a little bit better?
I think change is inevitable in all sorts of walks of life. But unfortunately, I don't agree with this type of change as it's been put forward.
So it's the model that you don't like?
Yes. Right. Thank you. I'm quite happy, as I said here, that the council has consultation, dialogue with any interested group. And as I said, the council wants to be proactive in doing that. They should advertise when things are coming up that are a little bit contentious so people know what's going on and if they're so inclined can voice their view.
Could I just ask, it's me in the chair, Brian. Brian.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, it must be a directional thing. Are you aware that this is a model that council received? that this isn't a council model and we're going to consult?
I wasn't at first, but since sitting around here, I believe that it's come from Tiarawa. Is that right?
That's right.
So obviously the council must have gone to Tiarawa and asked them to propose a model.
That's right. Received a model, and we're bringing out the model for community feedback.
Yes, I appreciate that, and I think it was definitely needed to have consultation. Mm. I've only been here for an hour or two today, and I came an hour or two on the first day, and there's a multitude of views, and it's actually opened my eyes a bit on some of the yeses, if you like. Well, I'm a knower, but some of the yeses, how I can see their point of view, but I'm still strongly opposed to the voting thing. That's the main thing that I'm opposed to, is voting. I don't mind people from any organisation being appointed to a committee that's investigating something that they're interested in and having a say, but not a vote. It's up to the council, who the public of Rotorua elect every 3 years, to take whatever they're bringing forward on board. And amongst the 13 of you, I think it is, you vote and decide whether it's good or bad, and that's the end of it. That's democracy at work, in my opinion.
Thank you, Brian. Councillor Bentley.
Oh, sorry, Charles.
Thank you, Brian. Would you favour us taking more time to form a consensus on this issue?
Certainly. Certainly I would. I think a referendum next year would be the way to go. But I know that's a lot of cost, but you would certainly get a broader feeling from the public of Rotorua on their thoughts and what they think was best for our area.
Councillor Stewart.
Question. Are you aware, and I'll read directly from the law so there's no ambiguity, are you aware that the Local Government Act says a local authority must, not with an interest group, must establish and maintain processes to provide opportunities for Māori to contribute to the decision-making process of the local authority? Are you aware of that?
Is it just Māori or Māori?
Just Māori.
I'm aware of that, yes.
You're aware of that. So if we don't meet our obligations on that, you're quite happy? But
you can meet your obligations under a consultation situation.
Okay, thank you.
That's in my opinion. I'm not a lawyer,
fine.
And I can't argue like a lawyer can. I'm not trained to do
either.
That. But I think there's another opportunity for that to take place.
Okay, thank you.
And we're off the hook now.
Not off the hook.
You weren't
Thanks
on
for
it.
Sharing your view. Bye. And now we ask Martin Evans, submit a 1802 on page 235. Good afternoon, Martin.
1802.
Well, I'll have to put my glasses on. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for this opportunity this afternoon. Just to settle my nerves, I'm going to read from my submission. I actually haven't got a copy of my submission. I've got the edition that I did before the submission. You know, it was about number four. Number five came to you. And as a background, I'm a Welshman, and if you struggle with my accent, it's because I live in Nongataha.
Yeah.
And I came to New Zealand in 1976 and have been here ever since, except for a short period back in Wales. So there's a global trend going on at the moment, and it was started by the United Nations. And it's about the recognition of the rights of Indigenous people. And when you look at the world, you've basically got two types of groups of people there. You have people who recognize themselves as Indigenous. And as a Welshman, I would say me and my Celtic family have been there rather a long time in Wales, and I'm indigenous to Wales. So you have indigenous people in the world, and you also have the other side of me, which is the traveller that goes and lives somewhere else. And wherever we go somewhere else, it's always onto the property of indigenous people. And if you take the example of North America, Western Europeans moved into North America, and, you know, I was brought up on cowboys and Indian stories, and essentially they decimated 18 million Native Americans. And then in America, which is a trendsetter, you have people who come in on top of indigenous people who say, oh no, we're all one. We're all the same. Except the indigenous people never see it like that. They see us as visitors. Today, it's the same in Wales. We see outsiders that come into Wales as visitors. So that's my bit on indigenous people's rights. What I like about the proposal is that, first of all, it was designed, developed, and proposed by the indigenous people of this land. I think that's great. That in itself is a model in this world. You know, indigenous rights people are struggling to get recognition. This is a great opportunity to model something for the rest of the world, to recognize the rights of indigenous people in this way. You know, I go back to 1880, and Mr. Fenton, on behalf of the Crown, he met with 47 Maori representatives. And I think to myself, what was their expectation? What were they looking for? What were they seeing in the future? And at first I said to myself, well, I don't really know. I could never guess that, you know. But I came up with something that I presume must have been in the air. They gifted the land. They knew that in the 1860s the government was talking about developing Rotorua as a tourist centre. That talk was already going left, right and centre. The reputation of Rotorua and of the hospitality of Te Arawa was world-renowned. And that goes back to the 1830s. You know, were people coming looking for the pink and white terraces? There were no telephones in those days. The only way they got to know about the pink and white terraces was through word of mouth. Lots and lots of people came to see the pink and white terraces. And if they landed at Makatu, they would approach the local people because they wanted board and lodge and a tourist operator to guide them all the way to Ohinemutu and to Rotomahana and back all the way to the coast. And an early botanist, an Englishman who was a botanist, came out here. And he wrote in his diary, he wrote that he felt totally safe. The hospitality of the people of Te Arawa meant that he felt totally and utterly safe. This is in 1839, he wrote that. So right from the start, Te Arawa demonstrated the concept of hospitality big time to all the visitors that came here, because they never turned people away, and they were quite happy to take the dollar. Thank you very much. So I've said that much. So in 1880, in my book, what those people were looking for was a joint venture to start with. It's their dirt, it's their land. Crown comes along, says, how about developing something? And they say, what a great idea. We'll give you the land. We'll gift it to you. 3,000 acres. Just like that. No quibbling, nothing. No, we'll give you the land if you give us this, that, and the other. No, straight away. Gifted. that to me represents lateral thinking. It was very good tactics, extremely good tactics. And if I go back to the 1820s, 1830s, around there, when the Kingitanga movement was being developed, I only found this out recently, how Te Arawa, they actually didn't commit their allegiance to the Kingitanga movement. They actually turned round and committed their allegiance to Queen Victoria and the British Empire. And they've never faltered from that. They've never quarrelled with the crown. They've never attacked the crown with muskets. Never. Amazing, isn't it? Other parts of the country, there were plenty of muskets. So I take my hat off to them. Te Arawa obviously had an independent mind in New Zealand back then, and they still have an independent mind today. And for me, those people that put that money out there, put the land out there, the land which is called Pukerua or Ruafata, funnily enough, they put that land out there. They got cut out of the deal, pretty much, in the short term, up until, my understanding, up until 1923, 1930, when lease money started to come in. And I know that when they gifted the land, things like leases, those are Western European thoughts. I don't suppose they saw it in those lights at all, because as I understand it, indigenous people are like kaitiaki. They don't physically own the land in terms of this part's mine, that's part's. It's a collective thing. Okay. So can I turn to the... How's my time? Am I okay there?
Getting close.
Oh, well, okay, look. Okay. In terms of indigenous people... The recognition of that term started around 1840s. There was such a thing as a protector of Aborigines. So back in the 1840s, the Crown recognized the indigenous people. Then you get to 1867, and the government sets up 4 seats in Parliament, specifically for indigenous people. The Fenton Agreement itself is with indigenous people. So, for me, there's no such thing as a special interest group in this regard. I'm a Welshman. I'm a special interest group here, yes. The Welsh Society. We're a special interest group, but we're not Tangata Whenua. No. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The table, we've got time for a question. There appear to be none, and you've given a different perspective yet again. So thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Certainly. I saw Kathy. We're happy for you to come to the table. We've had to be quite flexible, but if you're not comfortable, it doesn't cause problems at all. But I'd have to ask another submitter if she'd like to come forward. Great. Thank you for your flexibility. So this is submission number 1805, 237. Thank you, Kathy. I saw you were about to fill the gap, but that's lovely. So when you're ready, the time is all yours, Mr.
May I speak standing up, Your Worship?
You can do what you like.
Song and dance.
Your Worship, councillors, my name's Jim Rofe. I farmed at Ruifakaitu. At present, I'm retired. We've lived in Rotorua for 48 years. My first wife was a Maori girl. My children regard themselves as Maori. If I suggested to any one of them that because of their heritage they needed special attention, I would offend them. They are equal citizens. They are New Zealanders. Recently, we celebrated or remembered the Treaty of the Anzac. Those Anzacs went around the world twice to fight for freedom. They fought for democracy. And if it's good enough for them to fight for democracy, I think democracy is pretty important. To me, this council is, this council is a great example of democracy. We have people here representing Te Arawa. We have someone representing young people. We have people representing old people. And surely by consulting with these groups, without them coming into the thing on a payroll, the system will work pretty good, I think. Surely, look around ourselves. In Māoridom, we have great leaders, Sir Howard Morrison, Sir Peter Tapsell. Our Governor General is a Māori. How far do you want Māori to go before you say they're not being recognised? We've even got, I don't know whether he's here, Kingi Biddle. He's been to America twice to represent New Zealand, not Te Arawa, not Māori, New Zealand. And after this weekend, I think he'll be going again because of the competition this weekend and the winner goes to America again. To me, that is democracy. Kingi got there. These other people got there of their own free will through their guts, determination or whatever. My main concern with this proposal, from what I've read, there are two trains of thought. I read that the council has got legal advice. But I also realise that some other outfits got legal advice. Well, you both can't be right. So please make sure you're right before you go too much further, otherwise this council's going to have more money to pay. The ratepayers now want our debt lowered, not raised. There was a thing in the news last night about a large sum of money gone missing or being wasted by an ethnic group, which is not democracy. New Zealand is renowned for race relations. I've been to England and France and Europe quite often. And people say, oh, that's the country where Maori and Europeans get on fine. I say, yes, I even married one. My kids are Maori. We are New Zealanders. We're not separated. My eldest daughter trained at the Rotorua Hospital. She's a medical laboratory technologist. My son, Craig, is the first Maori in New Zealand to qualify PhD in physics at Massey University. And I'm extremely proud. So please, my thoughts are, if democracy, this country was built on Christianity and democracy. So please carry on those principles. This council is an example of democracy. I rest my case.
Now, questions? Councillor Maxwell.
Kia ora, thank you, Mr. Roth. I note with your submission here that you do not want people who are not elected to have the opportunity to make decisions that affect you. On our council here now, we already have unelected people on committees that make decisions that affect you. I personally support it, and they are the Audit and Risk, an accountant, and the Tourism Committee, people who know the business. So, you know, were you aware of that?
I'm aware of that, yes. But I'm aware, or I believe, they use their expertise to guide the council members. But I believe the final vote comes down to the council. Am I right?
Yep, in the same way.
Yes, yes. But, like if Federated Farmers want to, they can have a committee meeting and then someone can bring their thoughts or that to council. They don't have to go on the payroll to do it. It only takes one person to bring a message or to write something and post it to the council. You don't have to have someone there because this can go on and on and on. If Te Arawa have two people on a committee, they could be there discussing things that don't even, nothing to do with Te Arawa, and they could vote on it because they have been allowed there. I don't think that's democracy.
Well, we appear to have no more questions. Thank you for coming and giving us your view so clearly.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And Kathy, thank you for coming, Kathy Horgan. And this is on page 210, her submission, 1685.
Need my glass.
Head of schedule, which means that some other submitters that are scheduled for later may not yet arrive, so there's plenty of time.
It's the light, my glasses are needed.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Your Worship, the Mayor, councillors, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, I'd like to congratulate the Mayor, councillors, Rotorua District Council staff, Te Arawa, and pro-democracy society, and the media for providing us with such an engaging environment over the past 6 months. I look forward to reading every morning the letters to the editor of the Daily Pest and the review, and then I'd catch up with what Phil Campbell had to say on the blog, Steam and Mud. Sometimes I'd feel dismayed, and I'd worry about the divisive nature of some of the communication, particularly the name-calling. But then I'd remind myself that this is all part of the process. The controversy can be a challenge, but we can meet this challenge and produce creative, robust solutions. I'm only concerned I haven't been able to get to listen to all the submissions. They've been very good and valuable. Now for my views and concerns. I, like my husband Jared, who presented a couple of hours ago, would like to see a deeper analysis of all the factors and reasons for the failure of the Te Arawa Standing Committee. Only by putting all the factors out there, perhaps in a workshop, can we learn together how to get things better? Is it a change in structure, or is it a change in our behaviour that is needed? Are we communicating and listening, and are we doing this with all the people, or the right people? Are we giving things time? Good things take time. Time to think about proposals and suggestions, time to analyse and look deeper. I applaud the incredible efforts that Council has put into improving communications with everybody. For example, the Ideas Shop and the community information sessions over the Te Arawa Partnership. I was interested in reading Alan Skipworth's submission number 1479. He writes of a very effective quarterly meeting that iwi have with the Mayor. He says, we get to speak about all that directly affects our people. He thinks that these meetings could be extended to include other iwi. And what I found most interesting was that he didn't like the idea of these meetings being replaced by just two representatives as given in the Te Arawa partnership model. I wonder how universal his thinking is. I have thought a lot about the emphasis that has been placed in the partnership model on voting rights. Why exactly is this? I, like other submitters before me, think that if the emphasis is placed on communication, allowing questions and discussion so as to gain an understanding of the many different points of view surrounding any issue, one may strive for a consensus or come up with a creative solution. Voting under these conditions loses some of the importance and relevance. When I read votes in the council were 7-4, 5-against, it indicates to me that perhaps things may have been rammed through and not enough effort or time has gone into trying to gain a consensus. In my written proposal, I wrote that the pro-democracy option ticked all the boxes for me. I now no longer feel this way, as I feel that Te Arawa certainly do not like the structure, and I feel that separating Te Arawa from a different community from the rest of the district does not necessarily improve our knowledge and understanding of our different points of view. I was interested in Ian McLean's submission, in which he suggested having 4 wards, Māori, Lakes, Rural and Urban. This could give Tangata Whenua better representation. So where to from here? I suggest that voting on the Te Arawa partnership proposal be delayed until the findings of the representation review has been made available, because this is going to include an investigation into the Māori ward system. Perhaps the council could give us opportunities, maybe organise workshops, to help us absorb the findings of the review, to analyse them and to discuss them from the point of view of all the people of the Rotorua district. Amen. A woman aura.
Thank you for that.
I was only kidding.
We'll now open for questions. Councillor Hunt.
Thank you, Cathy.